ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वटमूलनिवासिने ज्ञानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ ॐ नमो भगवते मेधादक्षिणामूर्ति परब्रह्मणे.
सो वी हैव टू गो बैक टू अवर मांडुक्य उपनिषद समवेयर इन द सेकंड चैप्टर फोर मंथ्स अगो वर्स 16. This Mandukya Upanishad, we are in the Vaitatya Prakaranam. First Prakaranam we finished, and a very important Prakaranam. Hope you remember the whole teaching of the first Prakaranam. Anyway, because the first meeting today, I just thought I took it easily. But next class when you come back, and we see, we all of us know thoroughly the summary of the whole first chapter. You know, Chatushpad Atma. Do you all remember that? And we understood very clearly. Thereafter, the Vaitatya Prakaranam is started. And we have second Prakaranam. The Vaitatyam itself, I think we started in one, that but for first class we did it in Woodstock. Then we came to this hall again. The Vaitatya Prakaranam. The chapter which deals with the Vaitatyam of the universe. Vaitatyam means Mithyatvam. Mithyatvam is the Mithya, you know the meaning of the word Mithya. And then there's no equivalent translation for available for this word Mithya. Mithya is a Sanskrit term and which has to be understood. It is a word used to mean a given order of reality. When you say a given order of reality is meant by the term mithya, mithya does not indicate something which is absolute, which is non-existent. Mithya is a term which indicates, which is meant to, which means something which is existing, but which is not absolutely really existent, but which is empirically, relatively real. Which means the mithya is used to mean something which exists, but which exists but which does not exist by itself. Which means which has dependent existence. The existence of something which is dependent on the existence of something else is mithya. So anything which has a dependent existence has beginning and has an end also. Which means, end means which keeps constantly changing. So mithya is that which has dependent existence and which keeps changing. Therefore, which has a beginning means there is a time when it would not have existed, and there will be a time when it will not exist again. Therefore, it is subject to time also. So that which is subject to time and that which has dependent existence is mithya. And how do you understand it? Traditionally, this is the general example given is, suppose when you take any product like pot, clay pot or gold chain or wooden furniture, and we always see the pot, the name and form alone is mithya, because which cannot be denied to be non-existent utterly, which is very much existent. How do you say it is existent? Because it serves a purpose. It is useful. But this pot, name and form pot, which has no independent existence, outside of, apart from the clay. Therefore, with reference to clay pot, the name and form pot and the clay are physically inseparable. Therefore, they are not two different entities. Like a clay is in a different different substance and a pot is a different substance. So, you cannot count them as pot is number. The clay is one and pot is number two. We cannot count them because the pot is just the form of a name, the name of a form which has no independent existence, therefore which cannot be counted. Which can be counted. So the form and name and form pot has no countability. The clay alone is countable there. And the clay alone is because clay has with reference to clay pot, clay has independent existence. Clay can be without being a pot. Clay is not dependent on the name and form pot for its existence. Whereas the name and form pot is dependent on clay for its existence. Therefore, here we say the clay is satyam and the name and form pot is mithya with reference to clay pot. Therefore, any karanam becomes satyam, the karyam becomes mithya. And between the karanam and karyam, I use these two terms, karanam and karyam, but they are not physically separable. Therefore, we say this has no countability. The mithya is something which before the pot came into existence, before the pot was made, the form and name were not there. And after the pot, not that means not found. Then the form and name afterwards, after when the pot is broken, again the name and form will disappear. The clay was there before the pot came into existence. Clay continues to exist even in the form of a pot, and even the pot is broken, clay will continue to exist. Therefore, that which exists, trikala abadhitam satyam. You have to understand, trikala abadhitam satyam, that which cannot be negated, that which is available in all three points of time, past, present and future, alone is satyam. And that which exists only in the present, that which would not have existed before, that which will not exist later, and that while existing in the present also, that which has dependent existence, that is, that which is dependent on its satyam for its existence, is mithya. This satyam, mithya, we understand very well, and in this context, and then, so the satyam is, similarly, with reference to the whole jagat also, what is this satyam? What is that absolute real, absolutely real? And here, with reference to clay pot, we can say, satyam is absolute reality, and mithya is relative reality, or empirical reality. We use these two words. Absolute reality and relative reality or empirical reality. So the pot is relative reality, pot enjoys relative reality, pot is relatively empirically real and clay is absolutely real. In Sanskritam we use these terms paramarthikam satyam. Absolute reality is said to be paramarthikam satyam and relative reality is said to be vyavaharikam satyam. Or you can say vyavaharika satta, paramarthika satta. So, here, similarly with reference to this entire cosmos also, now we are interested in discovering what is that absolute reality. What is that only substance, existence of which alone lends existence to this cosmos? What is that one satyam? That is the absolute. What is the absolute reality with reference to this jagat? We are interested in arriving at that absolute reality. Therefore, this whole jagat is then what? Mithya. The whole jagat is mithya. That Shastram says, Brahma satyam jagan mithya. Brahman. So the the reality, absolute reality implied by the term Brahman alone is what actually is Satyam here. And is Jagat is what? The whole Jagat is Mithya. But the problem, where is our problem here? So what? Brahman is Satyam, Jagat is Mithya, we understand. No, we have not understood. If you have understood this fact, then we will be free. We are free. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya means, then we are free. If we know this fact, we need to understand this fact and really dwell upon this fact and ascertain this fact. We should never forget this fact. Then only our freedom is in having the ascertained understanding of this fact. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Brahman is absolute reality. The whole Jagat enjoys is only what? Empirical reality. It's only empirically real. But the problem is, in our understanding, in our perception, this Jagat is real. This universe which are experiencing, we are objectifying, we are perceiving, is absolutely real in our perception. In our understanding also, it's absolutely real. Why? Because what is absolutely real is not known to us. We do not know the absolute reality with reference to this cosmos. Therefore, empirically, relatively real cosmos is mistaken for the absolutely real universe. This error in our perception of the universe is cause for our bondage. Samsarasya karanam, is what? Our drishtihi, our perception and understanding of the world. Therefore, which means the universe, the so-called universe or cosmos which is experienced by us, is not a source of happiness, nor is it responsible for our unhappiness. Our unhappiness, our sorrow, our pain, our samsara, our bondage, in fact our dependence, in fact bandha means what? In fact being emotionally dependent, emotional dependence is bondage. Okay, and that bondage, then dependence is pain. Actually, dependence is pain. What is pain, if you ask? Dependence is pain. That is why we think we want to be free means everybody wants to be free, because nobody wants pain. But they really do not understand what it means by being free also. Just leaving the family, leaving that and leaving this and leaving the country, leaving something, going away, they think it is freedom. No. Here, having bondage, bandha, bondage in terms of ignorance, having the bondage here, wherever we free ourselves, physically making ourselves free, really does not help us to become free. Isn't it? Freedom is in our mind. Bondage is in our mind. There's a saying which always I used to quote this. I had one young professor who was teaching me Sanskrit when I was much younger. He was a young professor as well those days. And he'll say, Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandhamochayoho. Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandhamochayoho. Hearing this every day, it got me that even like the melody he sings. Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandhamochayoho. Where is bondage? Where is freedom? Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandha mochayoho karanam manaha eva. Bondage is in mind, freedom also is in mind, which means it is all in our perception. In erroneous perception, there is dependence, which is bondage, which is pain. In right perception, there is freedom, there is happiness and joy. So happiness, in fact, freedom is happiness, bondage is pain. In freedom, because dependence is pain, emotional dependence is pain. And here, that's why what the problem is, for us this empirically real universe is not perceived as empirically real universe. It is perceived as absolutely real universe. Not only that, it is understood to be absolutely real universe, mistaken to be real universe. This is called what now? Bahya Drishtihi, isn't it? This Bahya Drishtihi, external vision of the understanding of the universe is also erroneous. And also what? Internal, this I taught you in Drishiveka class. And internal understanding also what now? Internal means there is erroneous perception of the self also. Erroneous perception of the world also. And here, we need to understand here, this universe is not absolutely real. It is only empirically real. Because for us who are enjoying this world, experiencing this world, because all our understanding is based on our perception, it is very difficult for us to deny our perception. Denying one's perception is very painful. If we say, every day I see the sun rising in the east means, and every day I see the sun setting in the west. This is how we learn in India when in kindergarten class. Sun rises in the east and sets in the west. We do every day in kindergarten class. You know, kizhakkil uthu merkil maraihirathu. Suryan kizhakkil uthu merkil maraihiraan. It's a kindergarten lesson. And then every day we learn it. And then it is very nice to learn. Why? Because we do perceive it. In our perception, sunrise in the east, here you, it is not applicable here, okay? There's no sun. We don't even know which is sun, east and west here. And even if we know, we had to search for the sun, where it rises and any time it rises. So every day in the morning, sun rises in the east, sets in the west, if we study, that's because we perceive it. It's because you learned it also in kindergarten class, that does not mean we are totally right, isn't it? We are, perceptually we are right, but absolutely it is not right, isn't it? There is error. Because it is very, when somebody comes and tells, no, the sun does not rise and set, does not even move, sun is always there. It is the earth which rotates, rotating itself, it keeps moving. You know, in its orbit, whichever part of the earth is exposed to the sunlight alone has the day. And when this, because of rotation, you know, then the whichever part is not exposed to sun become dark. That is how we get day and night. If somebody comes tells this fact, there is no sunrise, no sunset, sun does not move, etc. Say, this is a fact beyond perception and which is difficult for us to accept as an immature child whose knowledge is totally dependent on the perceptual data. Isn't it? Similarly, as grown-up people also, it is very difficult for us to accept this fact. This whole jagat which you are experiencing is mithya. Mithya means as good as non-existent. We pay so much of attention and so much value for this mithya jagat, which is called overvalue this universe. We should have due value, we overvalue. This overvalue is called what? Shobhanadhyasaha. Adhyasaha, no? Shobhanadhyasa means overvaluing it. It's like mistaking the seashell for silver. Mistaking something glittering for gold, which is not a gold, which means an ordinary value, useless, which can't get you even some nuts, and you mistake it for gold means it is what is called overvaluing something. It's called Shobhanadhyasa, isn't it? And here we mistake this universe for absolutely real universe. That is how, this is where we become dependent on this universe. And this being emotionally dependent on this universe is, in fact, pain. Okay? Dependence is bondage and bondage is pain. And we all the time were working to get rid of the pain and we want to be free from bondage of being dependent. And for which you need not do anything. We need to only correct our correct error in our perception of this universe, which means we need to understand this universe is not absolutely real. And that's why the first prakarana helps you arrive at the absolutely real is Atma. Atma is absolute reality. In fact, anything and everything other than Atma comes under the category of Anatma. The entire objectively experienced world is Anatma and which is Mithya, which is dependent on Atma for its very existence. This is the Vaithatyam. So here the whole chapter is presented in order to establish the Mithyatvam of the Jagat. Presented to establish the Jagat having only empirical reality. It proves the empiricality of the reality, universe. Therefore, and which we have seen, and so many arguments are presented, I don't want to go back to all those things. Maybe next class, maybe I can summarize. I'll summarize the whole thing, what we studied until now, next class. It's okay? So, this chapter presents the Mithyatvam of the Jagat. So, Vaithatyam is another word for Mithyatvam. That's why the whole chapter itself is known as what? Vaithatya Prakaranam. The chapter dealing with the empiricality of the universe. That we established, isn't it? Because it's difficult for us to accept. Because denying our perception is pain again. To get rid of the pain, you had to go through another type of pain, which that is denial of our perception. In my perception, Jagat is real. No, you are wrong if you say your perception is okay, your understanding is wrong if you say it's pain. Understand? But this, we had to go through this. But that pain also will resolve if we understand the fact. And here, Gaudapada Acharya, in all these verses, mainly he said only one thing. This whole universe is mithya, this waking universe, Jagrat Prapanchaha, is as mithya as your own Swapna Prapanchaha, the dream universe. Because the dream universe has its existence only during the dream, and even the dream world also being an object of perception, it is very much dependent on the perceiver, the witness of the dream universe for its existence. Therefore, it is mithya. And the same dream universe resolves when the dreamer becomes a waker. Then in waking state, the dream universe doesn't continue to exist. Therefore, it is mithya. And similarly, this Jagrat Prapanchaha also, which appears to be very real now, during the waking state, it is also as good as the dream universe, because this also is resolvable in the wake of knowledge of the Swarupam of the waker being Brahman. Okay, how can you resolve this waking universe as mithya? How on waking up from dream, the dream universe being non-separate from the waker, the dream universe being the manifestation of the very waker becomes very clear in the waking state. Similarly, in the wake of knowledge of the Swarupam of the waker, I repeat the sentence, in the wake of knowledge of the Swarupam, the truth of the waker, this waking universe also will be resolvable as mithya. Okay? This is the thing. So it doesn't matter whether it's a Jagrat Prapancha or a Swapna Prapancha, whether it's a dream universe or a waking universe, both of them happen to be the object of experience. Both are mithya. Okay? Here's the core teaching. Now we enter into the 16th mantra. See, to come to this mantra after 4 months, I have to start somewhere. Can't come straight to this.
Jivam kalpayate purvam.
Jivam kalpayate purvam.
Tato bhavan prithagvidhan.
Tato bhavan prithagvidhan.
Bahyan.
Bahyan.
Adhyatmikam shaiva.
Adhyatmikam shaiva.
Yatha vidyastatha smritihi. Jivam kalpayate purvam.
Jivam kalpayate purvam.
Tato bhavan prithagvidhan.
Tato bhavan prithagvidhan.
Bahyan.
Bahyan.
Adhyatmikam chaiva.
Adhyatmikam chaiva.
Yatha vidyastatha smritihi.
Yatha vidyastatha smritihi.
Okay. The next mantra also. Anischita
yatha
rajjuh. Anischita
yatha
rajjuh.
Andhakare vikalpita.
Sarpadharadi bhirbhavaihi. Bhirbhavaihi. Tadvadatma vikalpitaha.
Tadvadatma vikalpitaha.
Anischita yatha rajjuh.
Anischita yatha rajjuh.
Andhakare vikalpita.
Andhakare vikalpita.
Sarpadharadi bhirbhavaihi.
Sarpadharadi bhirbhavaihi.
Tadvadatma vikalpitaha.
Tadvadatma vikalpitaha.
So purvam jivam kalpayate. Purvam jivam kalpayate. I had to remember here, Atma and Brahma are one and the same. Now this Atma, what is Atma? Here you had to remember, Atma, literal meaning you say the self. And self means what here? Invisible, immortal, innermost essence of every individual. Invisible, immortal, innermost essence of every individual, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, which is all pervasive, is the Atma, which is the reality. Because that reality is implied by the term Atma. I've been telling this many times, but I want to remember this word, which is the truth, tattvam. So it is kalpayate, purvam kalpayate. It creates first what, projects what? Here, jivam. What is jiva here? It is atma manifesting the individual mind is the jivaha. The manifest consciousness obtaining in an individual mind is what? Jivaha. Is there a jiva? There is no jiva. Is there a jiva? Yes. What is the jiva? The jiva is nothing but Atma. It's only name. Consciousness, what is this Atma? All pervasive, invisible, immortal, innermost essence of every individual. You know, is what is that? Consciousness. The manifest is an individual mind, isn't it? A given mind is the jiva, has the status of being the jiva. So jivatvam Actually, jivatvam is only a temporary status. So, jivatvam means what? It's only a status. A status. This is status. It is lent to something. Status is always given to something, attributed to something. Okay, the status of being a jiva is called jivatvam. And the jivatvam is some, a status is attributed to something. When is this the status given? The status is given to Atma. Temporarily given status. When? Only when this Atma manifests in an individual mind, obtaining an individual body mansions complex, given the status of being the jiva. If the status is removed, jiva's status is taken away, what is there? The status, jiva is only status. The status is removed, what is there? Atma. Is it clear now? Status is taken away. You cannot physically remove the status, but you can cognitively resolve the status. By understanding. Therefore, Purvam Atma Jivam Kalpayate. How? Having become manifest in an individual mind, obtaining in an individual body, mind, sense complex, you know, it has the status of being the jivaha. So, jivam kalpayate. This is called jivam kalpayate. Is it clear? So, tataha thereafter. Because without this, so, then immediately comes what? I sense, isn't it? I am. That I and I am, that self identity is possible only when there is manifestation. When I am, only then, what now? Prithag bhavan kalpayati. Here he says, prithag vidhan. Vidha means many types of varied objects. Objects of exist, no? Very varied existent objects also. Prithak bhavaha. Bhavaha means anything which is existent is bhavaha. The varieties of objects which are existent now, the world of objects, of varied things, you know, bhavan. And then it projects later. What are bahyan? Bahyan bhavan, adhyatmikan bhavan. Not only the objects which are perceived externally through the senses, and the objects which are available for only internal thought perception, all these subtle internally perceived available objects and the externally perceived objects, all these objects of perception, all of them, yatha vidyaha yatha smritihi, in keeping with one's memory, in keeping with one's one's knowledge, one sees. See, for you to create the map, project the universe outside, projecting means what now? To create the universe outside. Creating means what? Seeing is creating. Perceiving is creating. Seeing is creating. Perceiving is creating. Creating means what? Lending existence. Lending existence means what? Perceiving. Perceiving means what? Seeing. Seeing means what? Knowing. Understand? So, whatever you know here, that alone you can see outside. Whatever you do not know here, even if it is there, it is non-existent for you. Understand? How much you see the world? As much as you know here. The world you see outside is as much as you know here. What you do not know here, you cannot see outside. It is as good as non-existent. So, yatha vidyaha. In keeping with one's knowledge, you can see the objects outside. Seeing the objects outside means knowing the objects, seeing the objects. Knowing what you know here, what you see outside, what you perceive outside. Understand? And yatha smritihi also. Suppose whatever you know, what you remember also, what now? And you see. In keeping with one's memory, in keeping with one's knowledge, one can see the world of objects outside. The seeing the world of objects externally and also in one's own mind is what actually what projecting the universe, projection of the universe or creation of the universe. And for this projection of the universe, for creating this universe, there must be what? There must be seer. Without the seer is creator. Seer, the knower, the seer, the perceiver of the universe is the creator of the universe. There is no creator of the universe. Like how illuminator light is the creator of the opaque object. Create means don't think, it's typically like a clay. The pot maker comes and sits and takes the clay and puts it on the wheel and he really rolls the wheel and he makes the pot, isn't it? So seeing is creating. Please understand here. How illumining is lending existence. Lending existence is creating. I tell you, does the light create the opaque object? Let us understand the example first before we go to this. How does Atma create the universe? How does Atma project this universe? That we will see later on. Let us understand this first thing. There is light and there is an opaque thing. Opaque thing shines. And because there is light. Now we say the opaque thing enjoys the status of, this is something new for you. I have been talking to you many times this before. But still I had to tell you in this context. The opaque thing, an opaque object, enjoys the status of being existent because it shines. So if the opaque thing does not shine, it is as good as non-existent. A non-shining opaque thing is non-perceivable, understand now, is as good as non-existent. So what is that which lends the existent status to that opaque thing? This is shining, isn't it? So for the opaque thing to shine, there must be what? Illumination. Only if there is illumination, an opaque thing can shine. For the illumination to be there, for the opaque thing to shine, thereby for the opaque thing to have the status of being existent, there must be illuminator. And that illuminator, is there an illuminator at all, if you say, from the standpoint of the shining opaque object, and you understand there is illumination, therefore, from the standpoint of the object, yes, there is an illuminator. Without whose presence, illumination would have been impossible and the object also wouldn't have shined, wouldn't have come to light. And that illuminator is, when you search for the illuminator and you understand the swarupam of the illuminator, what is the truth of the illuminator? What is the reality of the illuminator? What is the swarupam, actual? In what form does the illuminator exist? I'm really taking you step by step. In what form does the illuminator exist? So illuminator, you know, so here, the truth of the illuminator, has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. What is the swarupam here, isn't it? You say, illuminator is none other than light. Okay? Illuminator is in the form of the light. What is the swarupam? And then you say, actually speaking, you once you arrive at the light, you say, light is the swarupam, actual form of the illuminator. There is no such a thing called illuminator at all. Illuminator is a temporary status given to the illuminator. Okay, from the standpoint of the illumination which is there, which is the nature of that light, understand? And because of which the object shines and enjoys the status of being existent. Is it clear? The order is clear? First understand this, then let us come to this. Very, very profound verse actually. Is it clear or not? Therefore, now once you are understood, the illuminator is a temporary status lent to the light. Why? Because light and illuminator are not two different things, not two different entities. You resolve the illuminator in the light. When you understand this fact, there is no illuminator other than the light, and illumination is the very nature of this light. Therefore, in the presence of the light, the object shines. Understand? And for which this light does not make any effort to bring this object to light, by its mere swarupam, by its mere presence, it brings the object to light. Understand? Therefore, illumination or illumining is also not an action, very swarupam of the light. The mere existence of the light is lending existence to this opaque thing. Is it clear? It's called and you resolve. It's called resolving. Illuminator is none other than light. When you understand this fact, you're equating the illuminator to the light. This understanding is what? It's called cognitive resolution of the status of being the illuminator in the light. Is it clear? Now you say, does this light, when you say does light does not do any action at all, in its mere presence, so illumining is its nature, the mere presence in its being, the object shines. Therefore, object lends existence means, okay, existence is also what now? Lending existence of the opaque thing is existence of the light. Therefore, it has no independent existence. What? Opaque thing. But the light does not create, the light does not do any action to bring the opaque thing into light. Bring it to light. Understand? Therefore, illumining with reference to an opaque thing, being illumined by the light is being, okay, coming into existence. Coming into existence is being created. Is it clear? Coming into existence is being created. Thondrudale padaikkappadudal. Thondru vilangudale thondrudal. Thondrudale padaikkappadudal. Is it clear? All the steps, remember? Similarly here, Atma. Now we have to say, Atma does not really create this universe. Because for us, creation means all the time we think of really goldsmith making the chain, pot maker making the pot. Does light have hands and legs to create this opaque thing? To create the material and later on convert the material into some given form and name? No. Similarly here, Atma, you have to say Atma is not the creator, but there is no creator other than Atma. Light is not the illuminator, but there is no illuminator other than the light. These lessons are not new lessons, I know very well. Hope you don't feel bored after 4 months to hear my boring voice. Because very subtle lesson, you know, you may think, it's all repetition. I tell you, in the contest I had to go to the new lesson today, isn't it? Therefore, that is why you can always say, I see, therefore the universe is. Therefore, who is great? The universe or you? You can boast, I am great. I am much greater than the universe. Why? I see, therefore the universe is. It's true. You knock yourself off, the universe disappears along with you. Isn't it? Therefore, how does Atma, you know, Atma, first, what does Atma create first? Jivam kalpayate. What is this Jivam kalpayate? How does Atma project the Jiva first? Being manifest in a given individual mind is projecting, in a sense, lending, creating the Jiva. Obtaining in an individual body, mind is complex through manifesting itself in the mind is what? Becoming Jiva. There's no sort of status. That is why we say, understand the Surupam of the I. How to arrive at the Atma? Understand the Surupam of the I. The Jiva, in the words, the Jiva is projected, an individual mind, a manifest. Then there comes what? I sense. Aham buddhihi. Aham. Aham buddhihi. The I sense is there only when there is manifestation of Atma in the mind. I sense comes. Then, so I am, when you say, I am the knower, I am the thinker, I am the feeler, and I am the perceiver, I am the enjoyer, I am the doer. See all these words from different identity. I am the knower, I am the knowledge. Then I am the knower, then I am thinker, I am feeler, then I am the perceiver, then I am as a perceiver, I am hearer, seer, you know. Then, what now? I am the doer, and I am the enjoyer. All these are comes, notions come. And what does Shastra say? I am the knower. So you search for the Swarupam of the knower. The truth of the individual has to be arrived at. The truth of the individual has arrived at through as the Swarupam of the knower. The truth of the illumined object has to be arrived at as the truth, Swarupam of the illuminator. Is it clear? The truth of the illumined opaque thing has to be arrived at as the Swarupam of the illuminator. Here also the truth of the individual has to be arrived at as the Swarupam of the knower. And who is the knower here? I am the knower, when you say. Therefore, the true Swarupam of the truth, Swarupam of the I, or the knower, is in fact the truth of the entire individual. And when you search for the knower, who the knower is, and the knower, the true knower, Swarupam of the knower being consciousness, becomes clear. Which is Atma, which is Brahma. Shuddha Chaitanyam is the Swarupam of the knower, that you, through the analysis, you arrive at it. Atma is not the knower. Atma, the consciousness, is not the knower, but there is no knower other than Atma, the consciousness. So, knower is what? A status attributed to Atma. From the standpoint of the intellect, where you have the knowledge, I am, and this universe is. Is it clear? Therefore, and we say, this we arrive at it, but here it says, Atma pratham jivam kalpayate purvam. Therefore, jiva is a status. Now when you say that I am an individual, I am the knower, just a temporary status attributed to the Atma. Therefore, jivam kalpayate. Kalpayate here means what? Being manifest in individual body, individual mind, and obtaining an individual body, mind and complex is what? Create, projecting the jiva. And later on, obtaining as the jiva. Understand? And through then, the whole external world. Through knowing, through understanding, through perceiving, and the whole world of varied objects also, what now? Become created. How does Atma create the universe? By its mere presence, by its mere existence, by its mere swarupam of knowing, it lends existence to the world of objects. That is how lent existence to, for knowing is creating. Like illumining, with reference to light and opaque object, illumining, thereby, through the nature of illumining, it lends existence to the opaque, therefore illumining is creating. Is it clear? Similarly, knowing is creating. Is it clear? We'll see it in detail again. Tataha bhavan prathagvidan bahyan, external objects of perception, and internally internal objects of thought perception also, tat adhyatmikan chaiva yatha vidya yatha smritihi. In keeping with an individual's knowledge, keeping individual's memory power also, that is, the world becomes projected. That is why all of us do not see everything. Lots of things we all see similarly. We all have similar perception of similar objects. There are so many things which we alone see, others do not see. And things which you see, others don't see. Things which others see, you do not see. That is why we always say, you don't understand me, I don't understand you. we somehow fail in understanding. It's the biggest problem, isn't it? We have our own understanding. Therefore, what do you understand? The jivaha is also only status. Therefore, in keeping with this, therefore the universe also is nothing but which is dependent on the Atma for its existence in terms of knowledge, isn't it? There is knowledge. The universe has it, in fact, to make it very easy, the existence of universe is dependent on what being known. The universe has its existence only if it is known. If the universe is not known, it will be as good as non-existent. The experienced universe is existent universe. If the universe is not experienced, it is not known, the universe is still as good as non-existent, unknown universe. Unexperienced universe will be as good as non-existent. And for the universe to be experienced, to be known, to have the status of being existent, it is very much dependent on the knowledge of the universe. There must be knowledge of the universe. What is knowledge of the universe? The universe is the knowledge of the universe. Understand? Ulagam irikkirathu engindrathu arivu. The universe is the knowledge. Do you all have the knowledge the universe is now? You have this knowledge. In sleep? In deep sleep state, you do not have, you are, the universe is, the knowledge that the universe is not there. If the knowledge the universe is not there, this universe is still there, even though universe is, it is as good as non-existent. Understand? And for the knowledge to be there, the universe is, for the knowledge to be there, there must be the knower. Why in deep sleep state there is no knowledge that the universe is? I mean, the knowledge alone is not there. The knowledge the universe is not there. Therefore, the universe is as good as, becomes as good as non-existent. Now that universe is not there. For the one who is asleep, universe is not, is as good as non-existent. Where is the universe? The dearest person also is not there. Dearest things are also not there. Nothing is there for the one who is fast asleep. Why? Please understand, there is no knowledge that the universe is. The universe exists in when you are fast asleep, when you are in deep sleep state, this universe does exist. But for you, the one who is fast asleep, the universe is not there as good as non-existent. Why? Because there is no knowledge that the universe exists. The knowledge that the universe exists is not there because there is no knower in deep sleep state. Knower is not there means what? The status of being the knower is not there. There's knower without the status of being the knower. Understand? The knower is without the status of being the knower. Is it clear? There is no knowledge because there is no knowledge I am. Why there is no knowledge I am? Because I am without the knowledge I am, because then the I, the consciousness, remain unmanifest. Understand? Then there is no jiva status. Knower status is not there. Jiva status also is not there. Then what happens then? Because the manifesting medium, the thought, the mind is not there. Why there is What happened to? Why there is no manifestation? Therefore, there is no jiva status. In deep sleep state, you are neither jiva nor you don't have any status. In deep sleep state, you are your self, not knowing you are. Whenever you are your self, there is no pain. That's called being yourself is being full, being happy, being at home. Being yourself is what? Being at home. You are very much there in sleep. Deep sleep state, you are very much there. But what is not there? There is no knowledge, I am. There, when there is no knowledge, I am, the status of being the knower, being the experiencer, being the, understand, is also not there. You are without the status that you are knower. Therefore, there is no knowledge. Therefore, there is no universe. You are just yourself. Why there is no knowledge? For the knowledge to be there, for the status to be there, there must be manifestation. Do you need to do anything to become manifest? No. Your presence is all, you are as you are always. But why there is no manifestation? There is the nature of the mind is such, it resolves, it manifests. Okay? Whenever the mind resolves, the manifesting medium is not there. Therefore, there is no manifestation. When the mind, rises, thoughts rise, then there is manifesting medium, then there is manifestation. Is it clear? Then there is this manifestation in keeping with the limitation of the manifesting medium. The manifestation also is what? Object to limitation. Is it clear? But the original Atma is free from limitations. Is it clear now? Therefore, what we need to understand, the Atma, the consciousness, am. When the thoughts are, there is manifestation. When the manifestation is there, then comes I sense, the knower status. Then there is knowledge possible. Then the universe enjoys its existence. Therefore, I am, I know. And this I know means what now? I know means it is the mind here. I am, therefore the universe is. When I am, the knowledge is not there, universe also is not there. Not there means resolved. When am is resolved, universe is also resolved. Is also resolved. Am, is, both remain resolved. When there is no manifestation. Therefore, you can say what? I am, therefore the universe is. Don't say universe is, therefore I am. Is it clear? Mm-hmm. Clear or not? I'm going to stop here. Hope you understood.
Yes.
I had to go. This one verse, this one mantra which you have read today, I have to go elaborately. I'm only talking, only first quarter of the line I'm explaining. The whole explanation is for the first quarter of this mantra. Jivam kalpayate purvam. What do you understand now? I to self am Atma, the consciousness. And this jivaha is nothing but projection of the Atma. Projection means what? Atma, what is Atma? All pervasive, invisible, innermost essence of every individual, obtaining in a given body, mind and complex, manifest in a given mind, has the status of temporary status of being, the Jivaha. Mind resolves, Jiva status goes. Mind comes, Jiva status comes. Like what? The specs is, the light has the illuminator status. Specs goes, light continues to be there without any change, but without the status of being the illuminator. Understand? Opaque thing comes, illuminator status comes. Opaque thing goes, illuminator status goes. What is Jivaha? Atma manifest in a given mind is a Jiva. Okay. Atma by itself is Atma. So Jiva is another than Atma. Like illuminator is light. So I'll stop here. The rest of the mantra I'll do later on.
You can go. Swamini, Jiva is also Mithya.
Yeah, the state, no, Jiva status.
Status is Mithya, status.
Jiva is only status. A status.
Yeah, yeah.
Jivaha, when you say, is only a status temporarily attributed to Atma, which is Mithya. Anything temporary is what? Mithya. Eternal alone is Satyam. The status is Mithya. That is why our each state of experience is what? Mithya. Dream state is Mithya, waking is Mithya. Waking is Mithya. Dream is Mithya, you accept to some extent. But waking is Mithya, very difficult, isn't it? We know very well. Waking is Mithya, we know. You fall asleep, where is the Jagat? Where are friends? Where is mother? Where is wife, husband? Where are children? Where are pleasures? Fall asleep. Nothing, isn't it? So much, we crave so much here. Fall asleep, knock yourself off, finished. Nothing is here. This is called a temporary knocking. It's done by nature every day in sleep. But cognitive knocking needs effort. That's what we need to do. The cognitively knocking of oneself, you know, as Brahma is what? Self-knowledge. You know, ahankara Tyaga. Understand now? Cognitively knocking oneself off is what now? Ahankara Nasha. That's what resolution of ego. What is it? Nothing wrong. So people say, give up your ego. What is ego? The knowledge I am is ego. Nothing wrong. And how can, you don't need to give it up. Understand the truth of I. Finished. Resolved ego. That's called resolving the ego. We continue next class.